Hey.
You know, we go inside the Beltway with talk radio news, because that's where the news is, right? What's happening in Washington reverberates across our own backyards, and nothing bigger than what's happening with the budget, because so many of you that call America Tonight could be affected by a government shutdown. Lavisa Frost from Talk Radio News joins us this time around. We love Lavisa, so we're happy to get her on the show. Lavisa, how you doing, kiddo?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, you're my favorite, like, reporter slash engineer slash jack of all trades. You've been with Talk Radio News since practically its inception, haven't you?
Oh, well, that does not sound good when you put it that way. But, yeah, quite some time.
Quite some time. So you know your way around the Beltway. This deal with the budget, what are you hearing? First of all, what's the gossipy part of this? Because the White House reporters and the people who constantly are covering Congress and the Senate, both chambers, they have a different point of view on what they're seeing and handicapping this whole thing. What do you think is going to happen? Are we going to see a shutdown?
You know, it's kind of interesting. I've been talking to so many people today, and it's actually a 50-50. You know, reporters go, we have money on this at this point. And it is very interesting. The last shutdown was during the Clinton administration, so it was a while ago. Right now, you see, I mean, Washington Post here, as we know, it's tourist season. We have all the kids from all the schools. Everybody's here for the cherry blossom parade. And people are already talking about where can you go. Washington Post has published this whole list of, if you cannot go to the Smithsonian, where can you go instead? If you cannot see the cherry blossom parade, what can you do instead? All these things. And we see 800,000 approximately federal employees that are going to be temporarily laid off. And the biggest issue right now, they could be deprived of their BlackBerry, instructed not to tweet. How are we going to handle that? crazy, crazy things. But, you know, it is interesting to see that even the press usually is somewhat united on one here. And here we don't have that. We're right about, 45, 50 hours away from the shutdown. We have, countdowns and all sorts of news shows. And the blame game is on like never, ever before. I mean, when the president was traveling today, he was first to Philadelphia, where he spoke about, energy and green technology, how to not be dependent on oil. You know, I'm not sure who actually listened to that, because all we were listening to is what is actually going to happen about the budget. He arrived and he did a stopover in New York City in the evening, came back around 8:30. To Washington, and 15 minutes later, he was in the Oval Office with Speaker John Boehner and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, because he talked to them in the morning, but he felt they did not get far enough, and he had promised to sit down with them every single day till the gut is done, and that's what they're doing tonight. We're not sure what is going to happen tomorrow. The president, who is actually doing a few other things, including when he's meeting with the president from Colombia tomorrow. So there are a few other things going on as well, but definitely the budget is the big deal. And, like I said, it's not that many hours left, and people really, they all said, we don't want to shut down. We know how much people are suffering, and they just need to get this done.
All right. So you said they're taking bets. Did you throw in on this? Did you put a monetary bet on this? What did you bet on?
No money whatsoever. No money. It's the honor. You know, my bet actually goes to, we did hear the president come out and speak to the press the other day, and he said that he doesn't want any short-term CRs here, but he said procedural things, that basically they come to an agreement, he can allow it to go for maybe a day or two so they can just get some procedural hurdles over with, but then he can allow that to go. I think it's going to be something like that they come very, very close, and then they let it go 48 hours over the weekend where they get some kind of a continuing extension and then sign it by Monday. But you know what? I've been wrong many times before, and this could definitely be one of them. But, it's interesting to see. I mean, if it does happen, it's going to be tough here in Washington. I do know the only positive thing is that I think that the meter people will not be paid or not be there, so you can park basically anywhere.
But you can't go to any of the museums. That's the thing.
And it's gonna. Can you imagine the amount of the tourists here that can't really go anywhere and gonna be, you know, strolling along the street? So it's gonna be interesting.
Crazy. All right, let's switch gears. Speaking of blame game, what's the latest on Libya?
Well, Libya, it's an interesting thing. You know, you never really know what's going to happen day by day. There was a letter that was sent to President Obama today where he's urging the president to end the NATO bombings, and he says that this is not the way to do it, and it's not really that he's being diplomatic anyway. That's not really his style. We hear from senior administrative officials that this wasn't a very coherent letter. It was very rambling, and it really didn't reach where it was, it didn't really make too much sense. We heard from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton saying that it's very simple. Colonel Gaddafi must leave power, and that's sort of the only way that we're going to at all negotiate with him. They continue to have sanctions there. And at the same time, we have the former congressman, Kurt Weldon, out of Pennsylvania, who was actually invited to meet with Colonel Gaddafi. He has actually not yet seen him. I don't know why, what's keeping him waiting there, but he's been invited. He was part of a delegation back in 2004. So he's there sort of as a little diplomatic reach out there, but it remains to be seen what's going to happen.
All right, one last one. Olivia Gates is in Libya while everyone's panicking over what's going to happen with the military and if there is any kind of a shutdown. But what's the latest on his trip to Iraq?
Well, he arrived there on Wednesday night, and this is for talks with Prime Minister al-Maliki. It almost feels like you forgot about Iraq. There's been so many other things going on. But there was sort of an uptick in violence, and we had a couple of attacks. But Secretary Gates will spend a few days in the country and make a couple of different trips and meet with the American troops in Baghdad. And this seems to be his last trip as defense secretary. So it's sort of a big deal for him to round things up and really get a good grip before he leaves. But he's been the secretary since 2006, when there were really, obviously, it was a lot of violence, and then we've seen it go up and down a bit. But it's sort of his last trip, and then he will bring that back to Washington and see what we can change there. And also, we know with the budget, of course, that all the rumors of the military personnel and the families not being paid, and I think that he's there to calm people about that as well.
Yeah. All right, Lavisa Frost, Talk Radio News, thanks for joining us on ATN. And the latest we have from D.C. is no progress. Looks like shutdown. As Lavisa said, I think her guess was pretty good. Another insider I know confirmed what Lavisa said. It seems as though this will carry over through the weekend. Monday, something could be signed. The president says he still remains confident that the entire shutdown thing can be avoided this weekend if they can build on constructive conversations that he held at the White House very, very late on Wednesday. And here for this audience, what do you say? Hold the ground and shut her down and make the point that this has to happen, or acquiesce and give in and decide to take a little bit of a slice, but not a huge slice as far as spending cuts are concerned. We're going to talk about that a lot this hour. Coming up next, though, bullying. What a huge problem that is in this country.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendovite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendovite works. If you're looking for more energy or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
In 1965, this is the sound. One more time.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. How often have we talked about bullying in this country and how out of control it seems to be? Private school, public school, all kinds of different encounters that boys and girls are having, and teenagers. You know, we have a zillion examples of this. Many of you have sent me emails about it, saying that you really aren't quite sure what to do when you're grappling with this and you're dealing with school administrators who really don't want to hear about it in some cases. So we thought it'd be a good idea to have author and behavioral expert Beverly Flaxton on. She's got a book out called Understanding Other People, The Five Secrets to Human Behavior. Beverly, because you study people and you've been watching this, is it just me? Is it just this audience? Is bullying like out of control now? Did it go on before and was just underreported? Or how big is bullying?
It's a great question, Kate, because, and I have children of my own. I have one in high school, I have one in middle school, and I have one in grammar school. So it's a subject certainly near and dear to my heart. But when I ask adults, I have yet to find someone, 30 and above, who cannot regale me with some horror story of the experience that they had in school. I know I spent most of seventh grade hiding under my desk because of the girls who were going to beat me up at recess. And so, in fact, bullying has been around all of our lives. I think what's happening now is that we have these high-profile cases. I'm here in Massachusetts, and of course we had the very tragic suicide here of Phoebe Prince, ostensibly because of bullying. So we have a lot more, I think, media attention put on it and a lot more information about it. But in my opinion, no, there's not more of it going on. I think what's happened generally in our culture is that there's just less of a willingness for parents to just work together, for school administrators and teachers to set an example of how we should treat each other. So I think generally our culture has devolved where we don't treat each other very well, and so that's why it seems so exacerbated.
Yeah, and now there's been talk about different legislation. There was just a couple of weeks ago the Tyler Clementi Higher Education Anti-Harassment Act that was put before Congress. That's a tragic story in itself. And they're talking about cyberbullying would be one thing, and then also funding programs to watch this and to try to override this at colleges, so to speak. And then there's been a few other things that have been introduced too. Like there was one I remember called the Safe Schools Improvement Act. We talked about that here on ATN. It's all anti-bullying stuff. But will this legislation work? I guess it's a step in the right direction because it highlights the problem. But really, will the legislation go far enough?
No, and, you know, unfortunately, Kate, I think what ends up happening, you know, because the schools are all being forced to implement this, so we were all as parents allowed to read, 100-page document that some school administrator wrote on how they would deal with bullying and the step they would take. And I think the sad part about all of this is that we're trying to legislate behavior and we're trying to legislate a response to it instead of trying to teach our children how do you become more self-confident? You know, how do you communicate in the face of somebody who is taunting you, who is being difficult to deal with? You know, in my life, the worst bullies I've faced have been in my adult life. I've worked with them. I've worked for them. And so it's not as if this behavior goes away once we get out of school. It's there. So wouldn't it just be money and time so much better spent if we were actually trying to solve the right problem and teach children a little bit more about how to deal with this, how to communicate, instead of, you know, legislating this punitive response to it, hoping that we're going to shut it down? We're not. I mean, people are mean. Kids are mean. Adults are mean. We're not going to legislate that away.
Yeah, I agree with you. What as a parent, because it's great, you mentioned that you've got a high schooler, middle schooler, and elementary, so that's the trifecta, Beverly, as you know. What do you tell them in these different age groups? What did you tell your kids should they run into these situations?
You know what is the most amazing thing, Kate? We talk about things like this a lot. Tonight at dinner, my son was telling us, he's the middle schooler, was telling us about a situation where he and a friend went and did something at school. They didn't know, actually, they weren't supposed to. They left the lunchroom, and the assistant principal stopped them and said, "What are you doing?" And they said what they were doing, and she said, "Well, you're not supposed to." And they said, "Oh, well, we didn't know that." And she said, "Baloney. You know, you should know better. That's it. No lunch for you," and sent them to the principal's office. And so we were talking about, and I was saying, you know, I just get forever amazed at the behavior that the adults exhibit in these environments. So my kids tend to be a little bit more paying attention to some of it. And my oldest daughter always tells me her perspective is she's just going to be Switzerland. And she just, you know, "I'm not going to take sides, Mom, because that's how you get into trouble." So, you know, they do talk about it and they recognize that some of this behavior just isn't, you know, it's not acceptable. But what's scary to me, Kate, is that the most amazing stories they tell me are really the parent or the adults, rather, the teachers and the administrators in charge. And that's what I mean about solving the right problem.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. We're speaking with behavioral expert Beverly Flaxton, by the way, if you just joined us here on ATN, and in talking about this problem of bullying. From the teacher's perspective, what are some of the things that a teacher could do? Do you have any suggestions there? Because I know it's different. I know every school district and every part of the country is different, and it varies from private to public and beyond. But there has to be a few tips, a few things that are common denominator type deals.
Absolutely. And, you know, look, in fairness to the teachers, you know, they're all really being forced to what we call teach to the test, right? There are certain standards that have to be met, and so their focus has to be on, here's a curriculum I have, I only have a certain amount of time to teach it. So they're under a tremendous amount of pressure as well. I think, though, that, you know, from a teacher's perspective, from the administration's perspective, it really is about a little bit of what we might call seeking to understand. You know, if somebody is bullying, what is going on with that child? You know, most people are acting out, children and adults, because of something else that's happening. So, you know, trying to sit down with them, understand a little bit, rather than the punitive, you know, let's off with their head kind of approach, to understand a little bit more about what's happening with this child, what's happening with the home life, what's going on with them. Is it something that maybe they need to be, you know, referred to the school counselor to talk about? Helping our children understand what's okay and what's not okay. My oldest daughter said to me, when she had had a difficulty with a child, and I said, "How come you didn't come?" And she said, "You know, Mom, the only thing really worse than being a bully is being a tattletale." right? And that's the kid perspective.
Right.
So part of it is helping them to understand, well, what is acceptable behavior, what's not, how are different ways that they can respond? And so maybe taking some time in the classroom to talk about, you know, different scenarios, or talk about, has somebody ever said something to you you didn't like? How did you feel about that? And so starting at a young age, but carrying that through to middle and older children, high school. We see a lot of it with the younger kids. We don't see it as much once kids get older, and that's really when they start to get into the danger zone. So somehow incorporating, teaching some of our teachers how to have these conversations in the middle of a history class or in the middle of physical education, you know, some class where, because human behavior, right, that communication, that getting along, doesn't matter what subject it is, it's still appropriate.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And I guess if you dig deeper, too, and you look at what's happening sometimes with these bullies, because they come in all shapes and sizes, and you're a behavioral expert. This is what you've done in corporate America and other roles, certainly. There's other issues behind what's going on with these kids, right, for example?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you were talking about the law in higher education, I'm a college professor. And, you know, when you sit down and you talk with kids who are acting out somehow, inevitably you find something that's underneath it. And so that's what I mean about solving the right problem, you know, to put this kind of punitive, well, here's our approach to it, and, you know, three strikes, you're out, whatever it may be. Unfortunately, all we're doing is we're just shutting down somebody who's really crying out and needs some attention. And if we can give them that attention and help them at a younger age, you know, we may be staving off a future criminal or a problem that, you know, is going to translate into something much more extreme in adulthood. So it's just unfortunate, I think, that we're not looking at how can we have a little bit more compassion, teach people to get along, teach them how to understand each other, as opposed to just, you know, here's our way of dealing with it, and let's try to legislate it out of existence.
Yeah, no kidding. And the younger the better, right? The younger the behavior starts at a really young age, right?
You know, it absolutely does. And one of the counselors was saying to me, she said, you know, I used to have to go into the classrooms in the fifth grade and teach them, you know, how to use nice words. Now I find myself going into the kindergartners because, again, you know, they're seeing it from older siblings or again, even sometimes the parents, the teachers, the administrators themselves. I think we all, and I say this as a parent myself, we all have to look at what kind of behavior we're modeling, too, because kids are watching what we're doing and they're imitating it.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Beverly Flaxman, thanks so much for joining us. Her book, again, Understanding Other People, The Five Secrets to Human Behavior. Thanks for joining us on ATN.
Lose weight while you're sleeping. Guaranteed. AffinityDiet.com introduces Lose and Snooze and the One-Day Diet. Great-tasting Lose and Snooze from AffinityDiet.com is the first step in our guaranteed weight loss system. Lose and Snooze will help your body get a deep restorative sleep without the harmful side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. And during deep natural sleep, your body starts to shed unwanted pounds, build lean muscle, and lose inches. Add AffinityDiet.com's One-Day Diet waivers, and your metabolism keeps going with all the vitamins and minerals you need with no rebound effect. But don't worry, you're never more than 24 hours from your favorite foods. Learn more about Lose and Snooze and the One-Day Diet at AffinityDiet.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y diet.com, or call toll-free 855-663-3438. That's 855-663-3438. Finally, a diet that succeeds where others have failed. From AffinityDiet.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Here we go. The spring break $99 deal from Life Change Tea. Hit it, boys.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's right. 2 months of Super Tea and a 45-day supply of Fat Burners for just $99. Spring into hell for just $99. Feel good. Clean your body.
Lose weight.
It works immediately, so call now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can purchase online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember,
sunny
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's getthetea.com.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Coming out of Washington, hey everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's what's shaking across America. You're either against us or with us. This is definitely about teams now. There's no gray area here. There are certainly some people who will be affected by a government shutdown. And what does it mean to you? That's the question we've been really answering the last week and a half. Can you afford to have the government shut down in all honesty? And I know that I've said this a zillion times. Who are the main people that are going to get hit? And think of a capital V, not like the TV series, the Nutball Aliens. No, veterans. Veterans will get slammed in a government shutdown. If it's a day or two, not as big of a deal if you're talking 6 days. Or someone suggested in the early going of this that it was so bad and so heated and the rhetoric was so high that it would take 2 weeks to sort this out. For you, all of you listening, if you happen to be taking a vacation to Washington, bad timing. You wanted to see the Smithsonian? Forget about it. Or any of the key museums or any of the monuments. Except for, like, the Lincoln Memorial, because you could sit on the steps there. You could go to the reflecting pond, but you couldn't get inside anything. In all seriousness, it does boil down to that for some people. It's just a matter of you can't go to the state park to fish or jog or hike. And there are almost 400 state parks. I know in just where I live, there are about 6 or 7. And even more than that as you increase the radius. But I'm okay with giving up dropping a fishing line for a day or two if the grandstanding pays off. So this is what I mean. You can't, it's like you can't get a little bit pregnant. I think if the Republicans are going to continue to build this wall, then they need to make it a strong wall. Not like the wall that was supposedly being built along the border. How much of that wall did we complete? And that's real mortar and bricks, so to speak. In this case, we're talking about a theoretical wall. So that's what I mean by you're either all in or you're not. There's no halfway in this. Halfway is for wimps. And right now we are sick of wimps in this country. It doesn't mean you can't negotiate. It doesn't mean you can't compromise. It doesn't mean you can't have a conversation. But at some point, you have to stand your ground. Democrats are saying the same thing. Those who are willing to take the risk that there might be blowback on their party and not the Republicans, as many people think. So the House Budget Chairman, Congressman Paul Ryan, is the guy who's saying the president's budget strategy is to do nothing, to duck, to kick the can down the road. I like that expression. We use that here on this show. While the debt remains on track to hit 800% of the GDP, the gross domestic product. That's not acceptable, is it? So the CBO, which sometimes the numbers are murky, says that they can't conceive of any way, this is a quote from that office, that the economy would be able to continue past 2037 if it continues on the trajectory that it's on right now, which was a point that we made a long time ago, a point we made 2 years ago. Every time you punt, you pay for it. So there's been so much punting. This is where we are now at this point. Ryan, by the way, also threw in that the House Republicans' budget would actually save Medicare and help avoid a debt crisis. I mean, this is it. In a nutshell, truly, either the problem gets fixed or you can't count on anything in America when it comes to your future, retirement, etc., your kids' future, your grandchildren, whatever. Because you can't continue, it's true, you can't continue to go down this path. It would be like any of us in our household budgets. You know, you have to pay the bills. Or you get the little pink thing in the mail, the electric company or whatever, cable company. Credit card bills, or the real big ones, like the mortgage, that little grace period. Grace period is up. It's been up for a very long time. So either you like what the Republicans are saying, or you think they're the evil empire. Or you like the way the Democrats play it. Let's punt, baby. Let's punt, let's wait, let's pray, let's hope. Let's cross our fingers. It's not a good strategy. It's not a good strategy to just cross your fingers. It doesn't work. I mean, ultimately, here's the thing. There are people, I'm talking about things that can easily be corrected as far as in our personal lives. Gee, we couldn't go to the museum. But not for the people where it cuts deeper, not for the people who are left in the dark by what's going on with this budget seesaw. There are about 800,000 federal workers who are at this point going to be in limbo once this gets thrown, if it does in fact go to a government shutdown. If that happens and I'm wrong, and sources are wrong, and it continues longer than what we think, Monday into Tuesday, and continues to go, then you've got two groups of people, and we've already talked about this, but we'll say it again. We'll use the government buzzwords. Essential and non-essential. And a lot of people have no clue. Doesn't it figure? A lot of people have no clue as to where they fall. Who gets to come into work and who stays home? That's the question. To me, the biggest thing is the veterans. Absolutely. Because they shouldn't lose anything. And when those veteran hospitals are closed, they do. They're in pain. They need their medicines, whatever. They need x-rays. They need their therapy. And they don't get it for however long. So to me, they shouldn't have to suffer. You think the Congress folks get paid? You think they're going to get their checks? They're essential. They'll get their checks. The non-essentials won't. They'll be waiting. And they'll be playing the game of chicken with their bills. But at some point, you have to decide. Do you do nothing? Wait, hope, pray, cross your fingers. Or do you do something now before it's even that much more out of control? Even though I think the Congressional Budget Office, some of their numbers don't add up, and it depends on who's president, let's be honest, because guess what? The president kind of cherry picks who's in that office. Democrat, Republican, who's ever there. You think things aren't going to slant a little in their direction, even though, oh, no, it's no nonpartisan baloney. But if the CBO is saying it doesn't go past 2037, first of all, I'm thinking it's probably sooner than that. So we're probably talking about 2027. But where are we now? 2011. It's like putting things off, burying your head in the sand, and we hope it all works out. But it's not working out. And the anger is so loud. Can't you hear it pounding in your ears? You're listening to America Tonight Now, but I bet many of you are fans of talk radio, and you probably listen during the day. Have you listened to what's going on across and around the dial? This is the most frustrated I have ever in my lifetime, in my entire life, heard people. And specifically, it really is over the budget. And why? Because we are the government. Never, never forget this. We the people. For the people. Yes, it's us. These people that you hear, the walking, talking sound bites, are the people that you've elected to represent you. That's why you need to get down their throats. And when I say that, you got to badger them. You got to call them. You got to bug them. Let them know how you feel. The more people who do that, the more action that you'll probably get. That'll be much more satisfactory than what we're seeing now. Coming up on the flip side, odds and ends. It includes a little more on the bullying question, and also the Quran burning pastor who has a bounty on his head. Stay with us.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Are you paying more than you have to for your home loan?
Discover how to take advantage of the lowest interest rates in decades and put money back in your pocket every month. Hometown Financial has been authorized to offer new mortgage rates that are starting a new refi boom. Rates are in the mid-fours. That means lower interest and lower payments for you. Act now to lock in your low rate for 30 years before rates go up again. You never know when waiting even one day could cost you thousands in interest payments. For a free rate quote to refinance or for first-time homebuyers, call Hometown Financial now at 800-526-5399. Our friendly professionals will help you find the loan that is best fit for you to save the maximum amount of money possible. Discover just how little you could be paying for your home. Call 800-526-5399. That's 800-526-5399. Rates might never be this low again in your lifetime. Don't miss out. Call 800-526-5399.
Worth it or not for the Florida pastor is a big one. We're going to tell you why in a second, because a fatwa on your head that's serious, or aka bounty, that has a potential to be carried out, I think is a scary, scary thing. To make what point? Do you become just a footnote in history? Headlines for a day scare the crap out of your family and worry them to death because he has kids and grandchildren? At some point, when is the risk not worth it? On the other hand, and we'll dive into this, we live in America. Best country in the face of the earth. Why? Because we can express our opinions. Freedom of speech. Sometimes you pay a powerful price for it, but would it be worth burning Qurans in exchange for your life? I'm going to give you some of the nuggets on that one coming up round the bend. But first, quickly, let's go to Jeff in Oregon. You have the honor. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Kate. How are you? Good friend Kate Delaney. Hey, Kate, what do you think of the Congress? Is a hall of shame? That's what it reminds me of. What do you think, Kate? I just want to know what you think.
Well, here's
and
what I think.
Here's
what I think. I think that I don't like the fact that people are going to be squeezed by a shutdown if it is a long shutdown. The way it was explained to me today is if we're talking over the weekend and then something happens Monday or Tuesday, not so much of a big deal. If this drags out for an entire week and through another weekend, it does become a bigger deal because people who need medicines, people who need services from the veterans' hospitals that they go to, and I said this on a previous show, you know this, Jeff, that all you have to do is just go and visit one of those hospitals. You can do that. You walk in, look around, and you see. Man, if you don't leave there with a little bit of tears in your eyes, then you're not human. Because I've been in big towns and, you know, big cities, rather, and small towns, and I've seen it. These are people who have, in some way, shape, or form, sacrificed. People in wheelchairs with no legs. People who are waiting to see, you know, their psychiatrist because they can't deal with some of the horrific things they saw. So they're in a circle. They're in a group that gets together twice a week that they take maybe three buses to get there. And they're not worried about taking the three buses, but they want to get there and hear, have the conversation and feel better, get something from it. So I'm worried about those people. That's the thing that I think is awful about the possible shutdown. And as to your question, what do I think about Congress? I think they're a bunch of ninnies. I think they're name callers. I think that half of them don't have any backbones, and I have no clue how we've elected such a bunch of sissies.
Yeah, I like McCain, Kay. I don't know if you like him or not, John McCain.
I said John McCain, you can't knock what he did for the country. You can't knock his service and the fact that he spent how many years in a POW camp and some of the things that he did when he came out of that camp, and then what he's done during his long public service in this country. No, I like John McCain. I didn't like him as president the second time around. The first time I thought he had some interesting things to say. But yes, as a person, I like John McCain. I like probably 75% of the things that he's been involved with, whatever different forms of legislation. And then the other 25%, I have no idea why he jumped on a couple of the things that he got involved with. But yes, I do like Senator McCain. Hey, Jeff, thanks for the call. Stirring the cauldron, getting some thoughts on Congress. I mean, there it is. Yes, there are some people who serve that I think serve with a good heart. They try. They're chipping away at things. They're trying to make a difference. But overall, I think the people that we've elected, they're such political animals. And it is such a machine that's what we have. We have this political machine that's broken down. It is. And you can go back in history. I'm a fan of history. You can go back in history. I've read a lot about presidents and congresses, and I can even recommend a ton of books. Some of them loosely based on history, like Founding Fathers, Founding Brothers. The Founding Brothers is really good. And you know there were squabbles, and you know there were disagreements. But in the end, with some of the stubbornness that you saw starting way back to the birth of the nation and then moving forward, things did happen. Things did happen. The idea of doing nothing is just not, it's just not acceptable anymore because we're too far down, for lack of a better way, excuse me, in describing this, down the almighty rabbit hole. I mean, we have just tossed away so much money. And that's part of the problem. We've wasted so much money that you can't get that money back. It's like we burned money. Speaking of burning, the Florida pastor that I was mentioning, Reverend Terry Jones, he has a small congregation. He was in Los Angeles. There's a big story written about him because he was going on Truth TV. It's an Arabic language Christian network. He told reporters, look, I'm not going to burn any more of these things. I'm not going to do the Quran burning anymore because, of course, a lot of people were there to meet him at LAX, not just TMZ, which if you don't know who TMZ is, they stalk celebrities, and they're always at LAX. Anyway, he said he might, though, hold a mock trial for the Islamic prophet Muhammad. Well, he might as well burn the Quran. He's saying we've had 400 death threats, and he said that Hezbollah, the Shia Muslim militant group, because they are, put out a reward on his head for $2.4 million. Remember when people were calling this show and saying, somebody called, two people called and said Hezbollah wasn't really that bad. I didn't know what I was talking about because You know, they're there at the Gaza Strip trying to help people. Are you kidding? They're trying to infect young men into pure hatred. That's what they're trying to do. So anyway, he doesn't have any other public appearances scheduled, supposedly. He's going to go to Dearborn, Michigan, which is a huge area for all kinds of Muslims of different, of different ways of worshiping the Quran and interpretations of the Quran. And he's obviously well known now because his face has been plastered all over the place. He said he didn't do it to draw attention to radical Islam. He said he didn't do that. Well, what was he doing then if he did it? There's just something inherently wrong with burning a book and then dozens of innocent people getting murdered. I don't like that, you know. But yet I said freedom of speech. Michelle in New York, hello, how are you?
Hi, Kate, how are you?
I'm good. What do you think about the pastor, fair or foul, what he did and now how he's exacerbating the problem by saying I'm going to have a mock trial? What do you think? Is it worth it?
No, I think what he did was terribly wrong. He started a fuel. He started a fire. He didn't have to burn the Quran, okay, to get his point across, because he should know better. They're going to be angry. At the same time, they had no reason to behead people just because of him burning the Quran. If they burn the Bible, okay, we're not going to be violent because what they don't like our beliefs, too. You know what I mean? So it's both ways.
Absolutely, I agree. Both ways. I mean, listen, Christians have been brutally murdered, tortured, etc., by Muslims, by the way, if you look back in history. You can go all the way back to the 7th century, right? So we could talk about things, Christians who were martyred. We can talk about Muslims and situations where Muslims have stood up and they've been slaughtered. But at the heart of this, Michelle, I agree with you. And thank you for jingling us up here on ATN. I agree with you. To what end, pastor, doing this, endangering your family? And yeah, I know someone's going to call up and say, well, screw it. We live in America and we should be able to do what we want to do, which is what I said, freedom of speech. And absolutely we have that. But would you put your family in that situation where they're scared to death for you and probably for themselves, 400 death threats, and you know you're opening up a can of whoop, you know what? Come on.